शांति 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 ओम। गुड आफ्टरनून, वेलकम। आई वेलकम यू विथ ऑल माय हार्ट। इट इज गुड टू बी विथ यू अगेन। लास्ट वीक, whether it was Thursday or Sunday, I mentioned that the precursor to self-inquiry is having a profound disgust for the world. Some of you didn't like that. I received a few phone calls telling me, "But Robert, I love the world. How can I have a disgust for the world?" Therefore, I feel I would elaborate on this today. When I say to have a disgust for the world, I am speaking of discrimination. Saying right from wrong, what is reality and what is transcend. The whole world is transcend. It has no consistency. Because you enjoy the trees and the flowers and the moon and the sun doesn't mean you're going to be happy all the time. In every life a little rain must fall, as they say. You are not the world. If you use proper discrimination, you will see that the world by itself is an absolute nothing. It doesn't even exist. You're holding on to a shadow, to an appearance. And if you believe in the appearance, you will always be disappointed. You have to be disappointed, because everything must change. It all begins in your mind. I am not saying that you should give up anything. That you should run away from your family, your state, your job, and live in a cave and growl at the world. I am referring to seeing in your mind that the world is an emanation of your mind. You have created the world in your own image. You see the world a certain way, and you react to it without ever understanding that you have created this world yourself. Yet you are not the world. Your real nature is ultimate happiness, absolute reality, pure wisdom, Satchitananda. This is what you are. You have never been the body-mind phenomena. Even though it appears strong, and many of you feel the world very deeply, somewhere in the deep recesses of your mind, you should be aware that you are not the world. You are not your body. If you get rid of the body idea, the world will go with it. Leave the world alone. To have a disgust for the world means that you have been in this world a while. You've tasted it, you've experienced it. You sort of understand what it is. And now you're going to leave it alone. It no longer has the power to frighten you. It no longer has the power to hurt you. For you are not hurtable. You no longer have to quarrel with anyone or stick up for your rights. Or win an argument. Those things no longer matter to you. It is only then that you can practice self-inquiry properly. This is why many of you tell me it is difficult to practice self-inquiry. You try it for a while and you get disgusted. This is because you are attached to the world. And the world has a bigger hold on you than your practice. You are not to think that the world can offer you anything important and rejoice. You should always rejoice because you are the self, the imperishable self. That is worth rejoicing. But anything else in this world will always disappoint you. This comes from your experiences. You have a good job. You've worked for many years. You've purchased a home for yourself. You've got a family, children. Things happen. You may lose your job. A child can get killed. All sorts of things happen in this world. Therefore, the one who has faith in the world is a fool. It doesn't mean, again, you have to give it up. you are in the world but not of the world. You can do what you've always done, work, have a family, buy a house. But they are not your masters. They have no hold on you. If you lose your job, you're just as happy as when you had it. If something happens with your family, this doesn't change you. You are still absolute reality. If your house burns down, you do not look at your house as God. You understand. You know the truth. And you stick to the truth. When these things that I'm speaking about are fulfilled in you, in other words, when you have dispassion and you use discrimination, you develop a tremendous power within yourself. You transcend the body. You begin to expand, becoming all-pervading. And you feel that the whole universe emanates from your mind. Then you can be called the Ani. You're totally free. How does the Ani think? There was once a president of a bank who really enjoyed his job. He got married and he had three lovely children. He went fishing with them, went hiking with them, really loved his family. There was a tornado that came into his town, and his three children were destroyed, killed in the tornado. Everyone was violently upset. But the bank manager, who was a Yanni, simply watched and observed. He went to the funeral of his three children and watch and observe. When the funeral was over, his relatives besieged him, and they said, "You no good bastard. You didn't even shed a tear for your children. You didn't seem to care what was going on. Can you explain yourself?" So he replied, "Last night I had a dream. And in the dream I was a king of a great country. I get married to a beautiful wife. I have three sons. We went hunting together and I love them dearly. Then there was a war. My three sons went into the army and they got killed. Then I woke up. So for whom shall I mourn? My three sons that got killed in my dream? Or my three children that got killed yesterday? Both pictures are a dream. This waking dream appears a little longer. That is the only difference. I'm not saying that you don't care about what happens. You have a tremendous love and a tremendous compassion. But you have jnana, wisdom, infinite wisdom. You have transcended the world. And the world can no longer hurt you. You understand that everything is for a time. Just like a dream. In the dream you go through lifetime after lifetime. You're dreaming, you're incarnating. Over and over again, you're different people. And that's actually happening in the dream. It's real. It's a dream reality. But when you wake up, you've never gone anywhere. And nothing has ever happened. And so it is with your life today. You appear to be running around doing things, going to work, going to a movie, moving from state to state perhaps. You go through all kinds of experiences since you were a kid. But the truth is you've never gone anywhere. And nothing has ever happened. You couldn't go anywhere because you are all pervading. You are the universe. There's nowhere to go. There's no room for you in anything else. You are ultimate happiness. This doesn't mean that from this moment on you should have an attitude that I don't care. I don't care what happens. It doesn't matter to me. This is not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the fact that through self-inquiry, little by little, you will transcend the world. And the world will be a dream to you. Yet you will be the epitome of compassion, of love, of peace and joy. Some people say they love their life and they'd like to live forever as their body. Think about that. Can you imagine brushing your teeth and flossing 3 times a day for 1,000 years? Having to take a shower, eat, always going along with what's happening in the world. For thousands of years, you will beg to die. This is why kindly nature allows you to live so long in your body when you do not awaken as reality. You have so many years, then you give it another chance to have a new body. And again, you have the opportunity to find yourself, to use discrimination, to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. And again, you don't make it. And you take on another body and go through more experiences. If you begin to let go of the world, I won't use the term become disgusted with it. If you begin to let go of the world, something will immediately start to happen to you. Immediately you will begin to grow spiritually. Something will take its place. To the extent that you let go of the world with all its problems, with all its beauty, with all its joys and sorrows, to the extent you can let go of that, to that extent will you be filled up with spirit. If you let go 20%, you will be full 20%. If you let go 40%, you will be full 5%. The void will always become full. The space you leave when you let go will become filled with God, consciousness, nirvana. Call it anything you like. You will begin to feel a peace and a joy that you never felt before. To that extent that you can let go. The only way you can begin to do this is through practice. You begin to negate everything. You no longer are attached to a person, place, or thing. But you're going through the motions as if you are. You do not feel the pressure of this world. You are not perplexed by the vicissitudes of what goes on every day in your life. You become happy. Totally happy in yourself. You feel an overwhelming joy, a bliss within yourself. You you begin to realize it is not the body that feels this. The body does not exist. It is the self expressing as the self. Do not be concerned with what is going on in this world. There is a power and a presence that takes care of this world in the right way. You have come to this earth for one purpose. That is to wake up. And all the experiences you appear to be going through are for your awakening. This is why I say to you so often, do not judge by experiences. Do not determine where you are in consciousness by the experiences you're going through in your life. For it is the mind that wants to judge. And as you know by now, the mind is not your friend. The mind will do anything to stay alive and control you. This is where you use discrimination. You realize the mind cannot fool you any longer. It has no power over you. It cannot cause you to weep when you see something wrong, to laugh hysterically when you see something right. You become even-minded. You're able to walk through this world without a blemish. Things will happen, but to whom do they happen? Not to the pure self, but to the imagination, to the belief system, to the one who believes they are a body-mind. Things happen. The stronger your mind is, the greater the reaction over the things that happen in your life. As you keep practicing these things, self-inquiry will come by itself. When you begin to see a situation in this world, whether it's with you or with the world itself, you watch something on television, the question will arise by itself, who's experiencing this? To whom does it come? And you will smile, for you will realize the experience that you see on the television, on the news, the experience that you're going through is a lie. You are not that. and something within you will tell you, I am experiencing this. I observe this and feel it. You therefore follow the eye thread. You follow the eye thought to the source. The source is always consciousness. When the eye source goes back into consciousness, it never existed to begin with. That becomes clear to you. When the eye thought does not go back into consciousness, then the world and its manifestations appear real. Your problems appear real. When you watch the news, you feel what's going on. What appears real for you. For the eye thought is active. The eye thought is working, making you feel the reality of the world and yourself. Therefore, you have to become vigilant and really grab hold of that eye thought by following it back to the center of the spiritual heart. And dive deep into your heart, where there is absolute freedom, absolute bliss, and absolute joy. Do not be fooled any longer. Do not believe what your eyes show you, what your ears make you hear, what your senses want you to believe. Go beyond that. It may take some effort, it may take some time. Yet you must do whatever you must do to free yourself from the pull of the world. If you are ready, you will know what to do. If you're busy, busy, busy with other things, then the world will grab you and make you believe this, make you believe that, put you through all kinds of experiences, where you will cry and scream and get violently upset. At other times you will be happy. And you will think everything is going your way. It will alternate. You will be like a yo-yo, going up and down. You have within yourself the equipment necessary to transmute yourself. It comes as standard equipment at birth. It's within you. You're using it the wrong way. You're using it to externalize the world. what you really want to do is to dive within yourself and internalize the world by pulling the whole universe back within yourself where it came from. You reverse the procedure. You pull back everything within yourself. It came out of yourself, and has to go back in yourself. That is salvation. When everything, the whole universe, everything in it, is sucked back into yourself, into consciousness. And another name for the whole universe, everything there is I. Because the I is alive and active, you experience the whole universe as it is. When the I goes back into the heart center, the whole universe is sucked in with it. This is why when you go to sleep and you're falling into deep sleep, there's a profound peace that comes over you. A profound joy. Try to catch yourself and see. This is happening because the I is going back into the heart center. And when you are in deep sleep, the I is in the heart center, and only consciousness exists. Now, if only you were able to wake up with the I still being in the heart center, you would be emancipated, totally free. But what happens to you is because of delusion and Maya, when you awaken, the I thought comes out of the center and goes back into your brain. You become cognizant of the body and of the world and of the universe. The secret is to be aware of what I'm saying and not to allow the I to go back out. But to keep the I always in the heart center. You do this by investigation. By inquiring, who am I? What is the source of the I? As you keep inquiring, you will go with the I deeper and deeper until the time comes when it no longer comes out. The choice is yours. What are you doing with your life every day? Where are your thoughts? What do you allow yourself to feel every day? Are you happy because you've got a great job and you're making a lot of money? Or because you've got a great family or your own property? These things are all temporary. I'm not saying you shouldn't do this, but you have to put first things first. Find out how you arrive in this world. How you happen to have a body. How you go through different experiences. Investigate. Find out what you really are. Do not take my word for it. But spend time going deep within your soul. Try to leave the world alone. Do not concern yourself with what is going on in this world. Some of you think it's selfish. Yet if you don't know yourself, how can you concern yourself with the world? It is the blind leading the blind. After you have awakened, then see if you want to do anything with this world. If you want to make this world a better place in which to live. But until then, save yourself. As the Buddha said, when you're in a burning building, you do not stop to admire the pictures on the wall. You get out of that building as fast as you can. I say to you, do not stop to admire the world with all its trivialities, with all its so-called beauty and nonsense. Save yourself. Become free. No one can do it but you. Can you ask any questions you want? But you have to inquire in yourself. Yeah. To whom does it appear difficult to surrender? What in me makes it difficult?
The mind wants to be in control all the time.
What is the mind? Where does it come from? Who gave it birth?
Just thoughts, it just comes by itself.
So to whom does it come by itself?
It comes to me.
That's it. Now investigate me. Who's this me that has the problem? Where did the me come from? Inquire, ask yourself, there's something in you that knows. Don't say, I don't know. Because what you're really saying is, I doesn't know. Who is the I that doesn't know?
There's no answer to that.
Find out where the no answer comes from.
Same place as the question came from.
Where's that? Hmm? Where's that?
Can't put it in words.
There are no words. If there are no words, there's no problem.
What's that got to do with surrendering?
When you're doing all that I told you to do, you automatically surrender. Because there's nothing left that wants to be active. It's all been gone backwards into consciousness. And you'll surrender completely.
Yes. Like, I have difficulty sleeping at night. And I realize it's just ideas, but the ideas seem to take over.
Try to investigate and realize it is I that has difficulty sleeping at night. Not you. I. And again you inquire, what is the source of this I? If you really do this, the I it's never you. It's always I. We keep making this mistake by trying to relieve our troubles, by trying to find solutions for problems. That's the hard way. The easy way is to get rid of I by remembering that the whole universe, the problems, everything, is attached to the I. As you allow yourself to follow the I thought to the source, all the things that seem to disturb you will disappear.
The source means that it goes from the brain to the heart. But I don't know how it, I don't know the process of following the eye.
You do not have to become too technical. All you have to do is imagine in your imagination the eye going into the heart center. And you do this by inquiring, who am I? That's the whole process. You're inquiring, what is the source of the I? That's the only process there is. What is the source of I? Is following the I to the source. The same thing. And as you keep questioning yourself, the space in between the question will become larger and larger. You will begin to find solace, peace in that space. And pretty soon you will say, who am I? And you will sort of become omnipotent, all-pervading for a while. You will feel a tremendous joy that wells up in your heart. Then you will come out of it and you will say again, what is the source of the I, or who am I? And again, there will be a larger, longer space between the times you say these words. It's in that space that you want to remain. In that space between questioning is nirvana, consciousness, your true self. In that silence, yet whenever you come back out of it and thoughts come to your mind, you have to continue the procedure. To whom do these thoughts come? I feel them? Who am I? Every time you say, who am I, you're using your imagination to follow the I back to the source. The reason you have a problem with it, of course, is due to what we were talking about this afternoon. Your mind is very adamant, very strong. Your ego is very big. And it grabs a hold of you, making you feel and believe that this world and your body are real. You therefore have to keep practicing. Who feels the world to be real? Who feels upset? Who feels depressed? Who feels problems? Who feels the body? Why, I do. And you go right back to asking, what is the source of the I? Do not look at time. As most of you know by now, time and space do not really exist. They only exist for the eye, for the ego, for the mind. Therefore, do not bother to think, how long is this going to take before I become free? Learn to become centered. Live in the moment. Take it a step at a time. Be spontaneous. And keep your mind from thinking past the nose. As I talk to you, I hear so many of you sighing, as if you're carrying a big burden on your shoulders. There is nothing wrong. All is well with you. Believe me when I tell you this. It's like when you go for a train ride. You go into your compartment and you tell the conductor to wake you up when you get to your station. And you have absolutely nothing to do with it. It's the same with your life. Your life is totally measured. It's going through the experiences that you have to go through. Yet you have absolutely nothing to do with it. For you are not your body. So why fight? Leave it alone. The less you think, the faster you will wake up. Would you like to read the onion, Mary?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
For a Yani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He is firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchidananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Yani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Yani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A Yani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Robert.
Anyone else like to say anything?
We have some transcriptions that have come in on the table.
We have transcriptions for you. Feel free to take them.
Robert, you started your talk by saying you must have disgust for the world, initiating the spiritual quest. But there seems to be a difference between having disgust for the world and having an indifference to the world. There's a transition that takes place. Can you say something about that?
Yes, you begin by realizing the world has nothing to offer you anymore. As you continue on the spiritual quest, the world becomes less and less important for you until you despise the whole world altogether. Before you realize the world is keeping you back from your spiritual sojourn with its force called Maya. It's holding on to you, it has a grip on you. And to the extent that you disgust yourself with it and let go of it and stop allowing it to have power over you, to that extent does your spirituality and the truth of your being come forth. As you work on yourself, this really takes place by itself. You can't go out and say, I'm disgusted with the world. So you're making a mistake when you do that. You have to grow into it. As long as the world is still meaningful to you, you have to investigate thoroughly and realize why the world is totally meaningless. And after a while of doing this practice, you will become disgusted with the world.
Isn't disgust a form of negative attachment?
Yes, exactly, that's what it is.
Well, then why would you be disgusted? Because that still would attach you to what you're disgusted with.
No, you're disgusted with it because you've been practicing spiritual self-inquiry or other methods on yourself.
Well, then you just let it go. You let it go,
but that's why I like to use the word discrimination.
Mm-hmm. I don't agree as far as the concept of disgust being applied.
Well, disgust is a word. You just get to the point where you realize this whole world has been making me what I am today. An idiot. Therefore, I'm going to let go of this stupid world. I don't want it anymore. I'm disgusted with it. Sometimes you have to get sort of angry with yourself and say, the heck with this. I'm tired of this kind of life. I'm disgusted with the whole thing. And then discrimination will make you go deep inside yourself and you'll be able to practice vigilantly.
Robin, it's interesting before the last of the 8 or 10 steps of development insight or progressing in insight is translated from the Pali into disgust of the world.
Yes.
It buffeted me too in the beginning. But at that stage, as you say, it is to be seen from the stage of transcendence, then one sees the fact, as you say, it is disgusting, but it doesn't hold you, it doesn't hold one. One has compassion and insight and wisdom at that time, but one sees the world for what it is. It is disgusting. It really is.
Thank you. That's very true.
But it is safe. I will never say that to someone who cannot totally understand it. But when from the transcendent level, it really is that way. But one will not act upon it. One will still in passion, compassion, in caring, in loving kindness, tremendously attend to the details and to all that disgusting stuff. If one has a...
Without attachment.
Without attachment.
Yes, this is very true.
So then there is no... it's not really disgust. It is. That's true. That's what it is. I find it true. But I cry about it.
Yes.
The tears will flow sometimes because the things I'm reading and studying sometimes... Just the environmental situation. Then I kind of feel like I'm nurturing my despair without being despaired. And this feeling of pain because you cannot really help. But yet you still will not give up helping. It's somehow you feel it as a call for you.
This is very true what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's part of the path of the unfoldment of yourself.
Right.
You go through a stage where you get disgusted with the whole world.
Yeah. Even to my students I can get that.
Yeah.
I just said now, there came this one. He tells me to go to the bus station. I used an hour and a half up to get through downtown and to deliver him into the station. He came from Germany. He didn't know. He wanted to go somewhere to Santa Barbara. So I said, well, come with me. And then I saw him what I was in. Sure, I could say, I should not do this. I don't need it. One sees the inner voice coming up with all kinds of things. And then suddenly you see, no, this is your path. This is a caring. It's disgusting. But that's where you are in. It's also your own karma. It's a kind of subtle, beautiful obligation without being an obligation.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
And you are feeling this, you say you're not part of it. But actually, one is part of it and one is not a part of it either.
Right, we go through stages.
Yeah. Oh, it's just,
it is strange. Life is very strange.
Yeah.
Life sucks in the dash.
But
you know what that did for me when I discovered life sucks and then you die, it also made me think there's only one way out.
What's that?
Spirituality. So finding yourself, self inquiry.
That's the ultimate
surrender.
It's the ultimate knowledge.
Otherwise, you'd come back and life sucks again and you die again.
That's really the only solution, isn't it?
But that gives meaning to life. That is because one sees the truth. It's disgusting. It's the truth. First noble truth of the Buddha says that life is dukkha. Dukkha means all kinds of things. Low, disgusting, painful, terrible.
Of course.
Without having a curse. It's not a curse, it's not a putting down. You just see how it is.
It's not a curse and it's not a blessing.
No. For ordinary people, the world is either a curse or a blessing. And here it is neither. But you are somehow very much, if it's necessary, if you see yourself as possible, engaged in it. To
yes. So when somebody tells you, I'm disgusted with you, say thank you.
Well, one has to be careful to whom. It's not good for that consciousness to say that. There's a certain responsibility of, I think, sometimes.
Discrimination.
Yeah, discrimination. And it doesn't help the other consciousness. Oh. Raising itself for opening up. When you say it's disgusting, and one would say it's disgusting, we just would immediately point and project to one own. And they would say, I am disgusting. Snowball.
Of course.
Yeah.
As you practice spiritual sadhana, all these things come to you. You'll know what to do.
Right.
So there's the practice.
Delicate. And tremendous value.
We have any other announcements?
Robert, one could also equally say, from that point of level, instead of it's disgusting, one can say, it's wonderful.
Of course.
Yeah.
It depends where we're coming from.
Yeah. And maybe also from to whom one says it, too. With whom one is communicating. Sometimes positiveness, to see it in a positive way, it's inspiring more than this way. is harder to understand. I only bitch in that way with those who understand.
If you investigate within yourself,
yeah,
all the information you're looking for will come to you.
Yeah.
Everything will be revealed. Everything is within yourself. And there will become a time in your life when you're totally disgusted with the world.
With what?
Disgusted with the world.
When with the world, yeah, right. That's what is true.
Everything will come by itself.
Mm-hmm. It's just a danger in it if the mind isn't kind of awakened enough.
Always remember that you are not the body or the mind, that you are pure Brahman, absolute reality, consciousness. You are Nirvana, you are Satchitananda. That is your real nature. And may your real nature unfold, and you awaken now. Peace. Thank you for coming. God bless you. I love you all. Have a good week. Don't worry. Be happy.